is actually very appropriate because gold is the luster of bhakti. This callus is also the first samadhi of Srila Prabhupada to be built in the world, although not intended to be this samadhi. It was intended to be a peaceful environment where he would be undisturbed in completing his life goal of translating and commenting on the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in 1974, that we were just hearing about, is Srila Prabhupada's first visit. It was intended to be his residence. It turned out to be the first of the samadhis. Samadhi means the state of the soul who has achieved the final stage of yoga, where the mind is fixed upon the self, which means the mind is absorbed in Krishna, Krishna's form, his holy name, and his pastimes. And when a soul in the state of samadhi, which is that perfected state beyond the realm of illusion, departs from this world, his remains are not burned or cast in the river because they are considered to be a blessing to the earth and placed in what is called bhusamadhi, resting within the earth as a blessing. And here in New Vrindavan, where right here in Madhavan, where Sankirtan Prabhu now lives, the last darshan that Srila Prabhupada gave for the horse department, because darshans then went according to your department. For my department, the last darshan is very exceptional, because Srila Prabhupada was commenting, he wasn't feeling well that night because the weather had just turned cold and rainy. And when the devotees arrived for darshan, Srila Prabhupada did not come out of his room. And Prajumna told the devotees, he's not feeling well. We waited for some time, and then thinking our presence might be an imposition, the devotees began in a very downhearted spirit, walking down the driveway away from the house. Srila Prabhupada saw this, and he told Prajumna, call them back. We came, and Srila Prabhupada came out of his room, and he was clearly not feeling well. He wasn't speaking. He asked Prajumna, read in the 12th canto. Prajumna began reading, symptoms of the Kali Yuga. And Srila Prabhupada was not commenting, he was listening. And when he heard the verse that in the Kali Yuga, beauty will be considered to be related to the length of one's hair, and Srila Prabhupada perked up. He said, just see, Srila Vyasadeva's Trikala Gyan, he had not seen any hippies yet. But he predicted that they would come. Now this was, Srila Prabhupada considered Srimad Bhagavatam the ultimate remedy And then the verse that really animated him is in the Kali Yuga. I'm paraphrasing, but it says that people will abandon all Vedic rites and rituals except for one. They will continue to go to distant places to take bath in a holy river. And Srila Prabhupada really perked up. He said, I have seen, I grew up in Calcutta on the bank of the Ganges. People leave the bank of the Ganges to travel to Hardwar to take bath in the Ganges. they're not concerned with hearing from sadhus. They just, and then from that theme, he developed it into the conclusion of what he had been preparing us for all along, and we had taken as our life's inspiration, that New Vrindavan, as he had said so many times and also written in his books, is non-different from Boma Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada developed that theme. Now, if you read a transcript, you'll be bereft of his body language and innuendos and other facilities he used to bring the flight home. But he developed that verse into the theme that this New Vrindavan is not different from Boma Vrindavan. You don't need to go to India. You have Sri Sri Radhavadeva Chandra here. And all along he had been emphasizing work together in a cooperative spirit to bring this vision into manifest reality. And the devotees were feeling that all their sacrifices and ordeals were being perfectly acknowledged and appreciated on that last darshan we had with Srila Prabhupada before he departed. The samadhi of a perfected soul. Well, first of all, the Dham is decorated with samadhis of sadhus and acharyas. Because where is the Dham? The Dham, like Krishna, is all pervading. And that's why we say, don't confine or define the Dham to a geographical location. The Dham is all pervading, as is the flute song of Krishna. The question is, where is the Dham manifest? And one of the key ingredients to manifesting the Dham is the samadhi of the perfected Vaishnava. Because, as Lord Shiva tells Parvati, the highest form of worship is worship of Vishnu. Higher than that is Tadiya, worship of Vishnu's belongings, of which the Vaishnavas are foremost, and including the belongings of the Vaishnavas, which are enshrined here, Srila Prabhupada's drum, his cane shoes. But you may not know that a portion of Srila Prabhupada's mortal form is also enshrined here, his tooth, or at least it was. The remains left behind by a pure devotee continue to manifest the divine influence of that pure soul. And Krishna activates and preserves that dynamic. Why? Because Krishna is more pleased when his pure devotee is honored than when he is worshipped. And he maintains the spiritual purity of the remains that a pure devotee leaves behind when he departs this world to invite souls forever thereafter to cultivate a relationship with him and assist him in his ongoing service in the spiritual world, which is our right of entry to follow in his footsteps to that supreme abode. So when Krishna says, or Lord Shiva says, paraphrasing Krishna's own words, that worship of my devotee is higher than worship of me, how does Krishna activate, preserve, and expand that dynamic? He knows that people will not continue in their worship if they do not experience a sense of reciprocation. How do we experience reciprocation in serving a departed Vaishnava? His samadhi is also called Yogapith, the place where the spiritual and material realms interact, mirroring Goloka Vrindavan here on earth through the worship of the pure devotee. In serving that departed Vaishnava, in this case Srila Prabhupada, in his samadhi, everyone experiences a tangible connection, ongoing relationship, and deepening Guru Bhakti with him. And that is how Krishna preserves and increases our worship of Srila Prabhupada. He came here in 1974 during the visit we were just hearing about. And just as in Devadas House, he was tapping on the walls, asking, what is this? It's concrete, Srila Prabhupada. And he accepted that. Here, he was also tapping on the walls. But he was not asking, what is the substance? He said, make a window here. That was not this wall, the next one out in the portico. Make a window here. But that's concrete, Srila Prabhupada. Make a window here. We're going to have artificial lighting. There's no need for windows. Make a window here. No artificial, natural light. He walked another 15 feet, stopped, tapped his cane on the wall again, and a window here. And the next 15 feet, and a window here. He circumambulated and marked everywhere he wanted the windows to be for natural lighting. This is a perfect prelude to his next visit here in 1976, when the windows were made according to his desire. And when he entered into this room where there are no windows, and the devotees were a little apprehensive, and being proactive, Bali Madan Maharaj volunteered information that in this room, the lighting will be provided by jewels inlaid in the columns, just like Krishna's palaces in Dwarka. This was the setting for the real jewel of the Mahabhagavat's humility to shine forth into the hearts of all of us. Srila Prabhupada was standing right there. And with his cane, he motioned as if in an arch, which sheltered all the devotees in the room. And in the utmost humility, which only a Mahabhagavat can reveal, he said, these devotees are rituals. And he meant it. So, when Srila Prabhupada departed this world, we were innocently thinking. That was his final lesson. How to enter the state of samadhi and extend that ability to follow the footsteps to all those who would take up his instructions. But bereft of Srila Prabhupada's mortal presence, we were all plagued with the darkness of how we could go on, bereft of the physical interactions with our best friend, guide, guru, Shaktavish avatar, Nityananda Vesh, who walked and talked with us within these very walls and the surrounding meadows and fields of New Vrindavan. There were no lights in the palace at that time. So the devotees strung strands of Christmas lights from the tops of the domes down, making an outline in light of the silhouette of the palace on that darkest night of our life. And not knowing where to turn, being bereft of Srila Prabhupada's mortal form, the devotees naturally congregated here and turned to the only shelter we knew, according to his instructions, in the holy name. And the kirtan began about this time of the night. And the invocation mantras glorifying Srila Prabhupada, followed by the Panchatantra, leading into Hare Krishna kirtan, stirred the deepest emotions from the hearts of the devotees. And they were crying and faltering. And this deepened throughout the night, because that kirtan went on all night. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, the pujaris had to return to their various duties, but felt unable to depart from the dynamics that were unfolding in this very room, as we chanted to the picture of Srila Prabhupada, where his murti now sits. And the mood of separation had deepened beyond anything we had experienced or imagined, but only heard of amongst the associates of Lord Gauranga, who, in separation from the great dancer, wanted to smash their heads against the rocks or enter into the fire. And the devotees were literally holding one another up. They were so weak. Not so much physically, but emotionally. How can we go on without him? And just as the pujaris were trying to depart to wake the deities at the various temples of New Vrindavan, unable to tear themselves away from the Sangha, though drawn to their duty to the deities, suddenly, inexplicably, the whole current of rasa shifted and came from the opposite direction. That vipralamba, which had deepened the feelings of separation to the degree we all wanted to give up our lives and follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada to that state of unconditional absorption in Krishna, when suddenly we had witnessed the magic of the Dham in inconceivable ways so many times, but how the devotees in an instant were transported as if borne aloft on a tide of any joy on this darkest night we had ever known seemed not only inexplicable but highly inconsistent. The devotees could not contain their ecstasy as they danced in jubilation, but were perplexed. Wasn't this the most disheartening event we had ever encountered? And they danced on throughout the night in jubilation. And as the first rays of the rising sun began appearing on the eastern horizon, and devotees began moving to their various services, they were asking one another in confidence, "Did you experience that?" And it was unanimous. "Well, what was it?" And everyone, including those who had had Srila Prabhupada's physical presence and a very close relationship over many years, all unanimously agreed. We had never felt that close to Srila Prabhupada. So his final lesson was not how to depart this world and take it to your grace and return home back to God. His final lesson was that the deepest sacrament of Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is service separation, which never ends. It is an internal realization awakened by his grace and his preparation and experienced most tangibly in this room where we are all now gathered. That is his ultimate gift to the world, which includes everything. It includes association with Krishna and all his servants in that eternal world where death has no access and darkness cannot enter. And Krishna preserves Srila Prabhupada's presence here in his samadhi to extend to all of you an opportunity to cultivate a relationship with him and assist him in his service in Goloka Vrindavan, which is reflected here in the hills of Appalachia, in his legacy, in his samadhi, which has come to be appropriately known as the Palace of Gold. Thank you, Shri.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. There's now opportunity for one more speaker tonight. I have this question.